The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this worship service this morning is verses 13, 14, and 15 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Let me read those three verses with you again. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners. As were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The hymn writer penned the words, I want, dear Lord, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. By those words, he was telling of his desire as a believer for greater devotion to the Lord. And my, that should be the burden for all God's people, for such are to be devoted to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, we learn of certain people, individuals, men and women, who were greatly devoted to the Lord. And one of these was David, a king of Israel. In fact, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart, and we see something of David's devotion to the Lord in our Bible reading here this morning. In the opening verses of this chapter, you have David addressing the congregation of Israel. And in doing so, he's pressing them to contribute to the building and to the furnishings of the temple. And then following on from this in verses 10 right through to verse number 19, there you have David addressing the Lord in prayer. And my, it is in the midst of this prayer, in particular in the words of our text, verses 13 to 15, that we see something of David's devotion to the Lord. In verse 13 he says, Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. And people, it is this account of David's devotion to the Lord I want us to look at and to focus upon today. And in doing so, may all of us in this gathering who are saved by God's grace, may we be encouraged to live a life day by day that is devoted to the Lord. And as we would look here at David's account of his devotion to the Lord, there are three things I want you to note very simply and plainly from our text today. Notice first of all here that David's devotion meant praise to God. Look at verse number 13 of the chapter. It says, Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And there you see that in David's devotion to the Lord, you see that God was the sole object of his praise and of his thanksgiving. And believer, it must be the same with you and I also. If we are to be devoted to the Lord, we are to praise the Lord. Indeed, the Lord himself says, Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth me. My inner devotion, the Lord is most worthy of our praise and of our thanksgiving. Notice David's wonderful description of the Lord here in verses 10 and 11 and 12 of the chapter. Notice how he describes God. He says there in the middle of verse number 10, he says, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. What a description there of God David gives to us in prayer at the throne of grace. There you see from those words that our God is eternal, that God is almighty, that He is the sustainer of this world. He is the giver of every blessing. He is the great victor, the one who is victorious over Satan and over sin and the evil ways of man. He is the one who is sovereign over all and child of God in our worship and in our conversation with others. This is the God that we are to praise and to exalt and magnify and honor before others and before men day by day. Now, as believers in Christ, we can say with David here in our text this morning that this God is our God. Notice the words that David uses there in verse 13. He says, "Now therefore, our God." He owns Him as his God. David uses that very definitely and in a very important way. Why? Because he belonged to the Lord, as we were singing about earlier on in one of our opening hymns of praise of the believer belonging to the Lord. Dear child of God, in our meeting house this morning, you and I also can identify with these same words. We can say of the Lord God Jehovah that He is our God. Why? The God of heaven is our God, not through anything of ourselves that we have done or ever will do, but because of the redeeming grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings of that redeeming grace in our hearts and lives and souls as the people of God. Oh, believer in Christ this morning in grace, what did God do with you and I? He caused you and I in our unsaved condition to see our lost, guilty, hell-deserving nature before God, that we were sinners lost and undone before God. He caused us to see our need as sinners. And in grace, He drew us to lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith and to trust in His redeeming sacrifice alone for our salvation. And it is by faith and that once-for-all sacrifice for sin that all our sins have been forgiven, that you and I have been saved from a lost eternity in hell and made sure of heaven. And it's because of that redeeming grace that we've been made a child of God, not just for time alone, but for all of the great eternity of God to come. And it's all because of the redeeming grace of God in our lives as His own redeemed and blood-bought people. Turning your Bible over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And you'll see this here from the words of the Apostle Paul, how he magnifies the grace of God and His salvation and in the lives of all God's people. Look at what he says in verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Go down to verse 13, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Dear believer in the Lord, in the meeting this morning, that is how it is with you now. We've been saved by God's grace. Grace, God called us to Himself in salvation. Grace, He caused us to see our need as sinners. He caused us to see the loveliness of Christ, the greatness of Christ. And He drew us to that point in our own experience when we came as poor and needy sinners to the Lord. Put our faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Been brought into the family and fold of God. And we who once were afar off, we who once were separated from God, bound for a lost eternity in hell, have been made nigh unto God. Been given a place in God's heaven, brought into the family and into the fold of God. Dear believer in the meeting this morning, because of the redeeming work of Christ in your life, you too can say with the hymn writer, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To His feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee His praise should sing?" Oh, we can praise the Lord today for His redeeming power. This God, the God of heaven, is our God, not because of what we have ever done, but because of Christ and the redeeming work of Christ in our lives. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting, it's lovely to see you here. And let me say this, if this same God, the God of heaven, is to be your God, if you are to know the forgiveness of all your sins, if you are to be sure of heaven and have the wonderful gift and the assurance of everlasting life, then in time you must come as a repentant sinner to Christ and lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith and trust Him and accept Him and embrace Him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Will you not come to Him today and trust Him? Accept Him by faith to be your Savior. Know what it is to enter into the family and fold of God. Know the joy of your sins forgiven. Know peace with God. The assurance of everlasting life. Know the great blessing of being able to call upon God as your God, your loving, eternal, heavenly Father. Oh, friend, today come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, David's devotion here meant praise to God. But notice, secondly, that David's devotion here meant giving to God. You look at what he says there in verse number 14 of the chapter, our text. He says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And there you see that David makes reference as to how he and the people of God had given gifts unto the Lord at this particular time. Such was their devotion. Likewise, believer, our devotion also to the Lord involves our giving to the Lord. In the case of David here and the people, they gave gifts to help with the building and the furnishing of the temple. Look at the beginning of verse number 2. He says, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Look at how he speaks further about the children of Israel in verse number 7. He says, and they gave, he says, for the service of the house of God. And in the Old Testament time, the temple was the place of worship. It was the place of sacrifice. It was the place of meeting with God. It was a place that God Himself delighted in. For the psalmist says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Believer, the lesson for you and I here is that we also show our devotion to the Lord as God's people by our giving to the work of the Lord and to the cause of Christ in our day and generation. Yes, the Bible shows us from our income we give our offerings to the Lord's work. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And then as believers, we are to give our time to the Lord, our talents to the work of the Lord. In other words, we are to do all we can to spread the gospel. We are to do all we can to strengthen the work of God and the cause of Christ. Turn with me, please, in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 14. And here in this chapter, you have the Lord commending the woman who had taken her alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and she had broken that box. It was very costly ointment, and she anointed the Savior's head with that ointment. And I want you to see how the Lord commends her even before others. Look at verse number 6 and verse number 8 of the chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel. He speaks here about this woman and what she had done. And he says about her at the end of verse number 6, he says, she have wrought, he says, a good work on me. Again in verse number 8, he speaks further about her and he says, she have done what she could. My, here was a woman and she did what she could for the Lord. She wrought a good work for her Savior. She did what she could in her day and generation for the Redeemer, the Messiah. And surely she has set before us here a tremendous example for you and I also as believers to follow in our Christian life. She have done what she could. I was hearing recently about another believer in the Lord that have now gone home to glory. But the person who was speaking to me about that particular person said that while they were here on earth, they did what they could for the Lord. And they weren't a preacher, they weren't a minister. They were just someone in the congregation living for the Lord week by week in their community and where they lived and where they worked and they were resided. The person speaking of it said they did what they could for the Lord. What a testimony, what an example to us all. Oh, may it be said, dear believer, of you and I, when we are gone from this scene of time, that we have done what we could. Whatever came to our hand, whatever came the way of our feet, so to speak, for the Lord, that we put our hand to the plow and we have done what we could for the Savior. That be the testimony of us all. May that be the aspiration, the example for you and I to follow, whether we're young in the faith today or whether we've been saved for a long time. You go back there to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Just look about David and the case of his giving. Notice how it is described for us in the Bible. You'll see here that David gave generously to the work of the Lord in his day and generation. Look at what is said there in verse number 2. He says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones, and abundance." There you read of precious stones, of gold and of silver, treasures of great worth, and how he gave generously. We're told that he gave an abundance unto the needs at that time. We can say also that he gave willingly. He gave generously, but he gave willingly. Look at how he begins verse 2. He says, "Now I have prepared," he says, "with all my might." And that speaks of a willingness. Look at the words of our text again. And verse number 14, he says, "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able," notice it, "to offer so willingly after this sort?" It wasn't done with constraint. It was generous. It was willing from the heart. You notice also from verse 3 that he gave lovingly. He says there, "Moreover, because I have set my affection," he says, "to the house of my God." His heart was full of love for the things of God. There was affection here. And then you notice also that he gave with humility, knowing that the Lord was the source of his every blessing in life, and the blessing that the people of God had, that God alone was the source of this. He was the fountainhead of it. Look at what he says there in verse number 14. He begins with these words. He says, "But who am I?" David here knows that he's nothing before the Lord, that God is the great creator, that he himself is just a creature of time, made from the very dust of the ground. But he says, "Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" And then look at these words. He says to the Lord, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Lord, all that we're able to do for thee, says David, all that we're able to give to thee, he says, Lord, has come from thee. Come from thy bountiful hand. Come from thy gracious dealings toward thy people. Look at verse 16. He says, "O Lord our God, all the store that we've prepared to build thee an house for thine own holy name," notice it, "cometh off thine hand and is all thine own." David here humbly acknowledges the Lord. And the Lord is the giver of every blessing to his people and to his church. And dear people of God, this is the same spirit that you and I are to have and our giving to the Lord, whatever it is. We're to give generously. We're to give willingly. We're to give lovingly unto the Lord. We're to give with humility of heart, realizing that the Lord alone is the fountain of every blessing. Oh, does not the Bible say the Lord loveth a cheerful giver? We're to give cheerfully, willingly, joyfully, graciously, lovingly unto the Lord. David's devotion consisted of him giving to the Lord. His devotion consisted of him praising the Lord. But notice one final thing from our text this morning, that David's devotion to the Lord, you'll see, was motivated by a realization that his time on earth was short. For look at what he says in verse number 15. the final part of our text, as he's before the Lord here in prayer. He says, "For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." There you see that David knew he was not here forever. David knew and he understood that he was just a pilgrim. That's all he was. Passing through this world. Therefore, he realized that now was the time that he must give to the Lord. Now was the time that he must serve the Lord to the very best of his ability, to the very utmost of his being. He knew that now was the time to render up service and devotion to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he knew he was just here for a short time. He had this realization. And this, I believe, motivated him to be the man that he was in his devotion to the Lord. You know, we can say the same about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, whenever he was here on earth. He too had this same compelling realization as far as his earthly ministry was concerned, that he was only here for a brief amount of time. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, to the chapter number 9. And here you read of Christ healing the blind man. I want you to see what he says in verse 4 of John chapter 9. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And that shows us how Christ realized, as far as his earthly ministry was concerned, that it was only for a short space of time. Hence he says, "I must work, for the night cometh when no man can work." My Christ knew his earthly ministry was only for a limited time. Therefore, while he was here on earth, and this is what you see perfectly in his life, his earthly life, he never turned back from doing the Father's work, doing the Father's will. He knew about the cross, awful agony and shame that lay before him. Yet the Bible says he steadfastly set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. There was no turning back. He was the perfect servant of God, his heavenly Father. Remember him as a young boy of 12 in the temple with Mary and Joseph. And what did he say to them when they were looking for him? And they'd been split up in company from him. He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" There was this compulsion in all of his life to be about his Father's work, his Father's business, to serve the Lord God Almighty. There was no holding back as far as the Savior was concerned. Oh, he knew he was just here on earth for a short time. David realized that. He says here, "We are as a shadow. There's none abiding." You think of a shadow as here one moment, it's gone the next. David realized that he wasn't here forever. And believer in Christ this morning, it's the same for you and I also. We are only sojourners on this earth. This earth is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Our conversation is in glory. Our earthly life is just like a shadow. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. The Bible says here, you and I, we have no continuing city. Therefore, as believers in Christ, the Word of God makes it very plain that you and I were not to be weighed down with the sins and the weights of this world. The Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Also, as believers, we're not to be ensnared by the things of this world. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And also, none of us know how long we have left upon this earth and upon the scene of time. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And when we leave this world as believers, each one of us who are saved will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account of our life, give account of our service to God and our stewardship of the talents and the gifts and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us for his work. Bible speaks of you and I as believers and says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God." In light of such solemn realities, dear people of God, let us rededicate ourselves afresh, even this day, to the Lord, to the work of God, to the cause of Christ, to the forwarding of the gospel of Christ in our day and generation. The Lord says to you and I who are saved this morning, He says, "My son, give me thine heart." He wants us to serve Him now, today, not next month or next year or some other time down the line, so to speak, but now, today. You look at verse number 5 of this chapter. Look at the question that is asked. It says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Think of those words. My, the Lord there is asking you and I, He's asking each one of us, who among us here this morning, this is the question, is willing to consecrate our lives, our all, our service this day, now, today, to the Lord. Dear believers, the Lord comes and speaks to your heart and speaks to my heart this morning through His Word. He says, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day, this very day, this very morning, unto the Lord?" Oh, believer, may you and I respond to such a call by saying, "Lord, take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrate it unto Thee." Dear believer, where there is a need in God's work, may you and I say willingly, even like Isaiah of old, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Make yourself available to the Lord, to this work, to the needs of His work. Say, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me, whatever I have." Think of the feeding of the 5,000. Think of the little boy in his lunch whom the Lord took and the Lord used. It was nothing in the eyes of man. It was nothing in the eyes of the world. Just a little bit of bread and a little fishes. But the Lord took it up. The Lord took it in His hands, and the Lord blessed it to feed a whole multitude of 5,000 people and more. You might think, "Well, what do I have?" Well, you have your life. You're saved by the grace of God. Give what you have, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, up to the Lord. I tell you this, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you for His honor and for His glory. Oh, believer in Christ, in the light of all that God has done for us in Christ, in the light of the days, the number of days that you and I have left upon this earth, may the Lord have the best of our thoughts. May have the best of our praise. May have the best of our words. May have the best of our deeds. May have the very best of our gifts. It was C.T. Studd who said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for Him." May that be the response of all of our hearts today. The Lord speaks to you and speaks to me and says, "Who then is willing to consecrate His service this day?"